Okay, good morning.
I'm proud of you.
I'd like to discuss this morning some of the inyanim of the keshes, of the rainbow, in the halacha, and in the paiskim, and in the machshava svarim. Of course, there's a lot to discuss, and we'll try to discuss only part of it today. So we'll start with a couple weeks ago's parsha, even though, you know, it is Nageh, of course, the Parshas Nayach the most, but I think it's very applicable for the whole season now as we're going into the rainy season, and it's most easy to see the rainbow. Okay, so we know after Nayach, after the Mabul is over, Nayach comes out, is coming out of the Teva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a pact, makes a treaty with Nayach and all the animals, and says he will never bring a Mabul again to destroy the world. And there the Pasuk says, in Yud Aleph, HaKimaisi Esprisi Yitcham, I'll establish this treaty with you, V'lei Kores Kol Basar Oid Me'a Mabul, I'll never totally obliterate all the living flesh from flood waters again. So it will not be a flood that will destroy the world. The Pasuk Yud Bey says, and Hashem says, this is going to be the sign of the treaty. That I'm going to put between you, between me and you and your descendants. Will be for all mankind, all living creatures, for now and forever, as Pasuk Yud Gimel, as Kashti Nosati Bon, I'm going to place my Kashti, we'll translate as the rainbow, I'll put in my clouds, for Haisala Ois, and that will be the sign, Bris Beini Uveina Oretz, between me and the inhabitants of the land, for Haya Ba'anani Onon Ala Oretz, and it will be when I will put the clouds, so to speak, on the earth, V'nirasa Keshes Bon, and you will see the Keshes in the clouds, and V'zachati, I'll remember, Hashem says, the treaty, and I won't destroy the world. So there's a lot of nuances in the Lashon here that, you know, it's a little bit repetitive, and the rainbow will be in the clouds. Hashem will put the clouds on the earth, and then we'll see the rainbow in the clouds. You know, it just could have just, you know, made it a little more concise and been straightforward. There's a rainbow. Seemingly, Noach was already familiar with the rainbow. Rainbow is a natural phenomenon. L'chaira, he might have seen the 600 years that he already was alive. Statistically, he probably had seen some rainbows already. Didn't have to be so excessive in the expression of there'll be the clouds, there'll be this, there'll be that. When you see the rainbow, you'll know it's a bris. You know, it seemingly is a lot of extra, seemingly at face value, seemingly is a lot of extra expressions in the psukim here, and we'll try to discuss it as we go along. So that's the introduction in the Torah where we see the rainbow after is being used as a sign, as a treaty between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Noach and the future generations, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not bring a Mabul again. Okay, let's move on now for a moment to the Gemara. The Gemara in Masechtas Brachos in the last parak and Daf Nun Tes tells us as follows, where it's marked off in source number 2. Omer Rab Alexandri, Omer Beshua ben Levi, Alexandri says the name of Beshua ben Levi, Harayas HaKeshes Ba'anon. Again, the expression Keshes Ba'anon. If someone sees a rainbow in the clouds, Sarach Sheyipol Aponav, he has to bow down, he has to fall on his face and prostrate himself. Shenemar, like the Pasuk in Yecheskel says, Kimara HaKeshes HaShayyeh Ba'anon, like the vision of a rainbow that's seen in the clouds, v'gomer, and the pasuk ends off, and the Yecheskel says, v'era v'epal aponai, and I will see it and I will fall on my face. So seemingly from this pasuk, it seems like that the vision of a rainbow is a reason for us to bow down. However, layetalev marava, they are cursed in Eretz Yisrael, those people who wanted to bow down to a rainbow. Mishum de mechsi kimand de sogi lakasha, it looks like it gives the impression, gives the appearance that we're bowing down, that we're serving the rainbow, which is of course would be a form of Avodah Zarah. So therefore they frowned upon, they cursed those people who would bow down. So it seems like, stop here in the Gemara, so when we see the rainbow, we should not bow down. The Paiskim don't bring this Gemara, the first part or the end part of it, but because seemingly we're just going to go with the end of it, and that it will be usher to bow down, the same way it's usher to bow down to any celestial body or bow down to any other idols, it will be as well, should be usher to bow down to the rainbow. However, the Gemara concludes, Avol Bruchi Vad Mevarach. Fine, so we cannot bow down, but of course, this beautiful sight requires us to make a bracha. So ask the Gemara, Mai Mevarach, what's the blessing we should recite when we see the rainbow? Baruch Zeicher Habris. So the first man the Amar is a very short bracha. Seemingly, you put Hashem's name in as well. Baruch Atah Hashem, Alkeinu Melech Olam, Zeicher Habris, Hashem who remembers the treaty, because like we said before, the Psukim and Noach introduced us the rainbow as a treaty between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, Masni Satan was taught in a braisa, Bishmol, Benoi, Shabiyachim, and Broika Oimer. He has a different nusach. He would say, Baruch, etc. Nemon Bebrisa, Vikayim, Bemamorai, Hashem who is faithful to keep his treaty, and he keeps his word. that he won't destroy the world. So he had a little different nusach habracha. Comes along Rav Papa, Rav Papa. Rav Papa wants to make shalom. He's going to make peace between all the opinions. Hilchach Nemrel Tervayu. Therefore, we will say both of the expressions together. Baruch Zeicher Habris. And the end of the bracha is V'neman B'brisa V'kayim B'ma'amorais. That's how we paskin, like Rav Papa. And it's interesting to know, as a sidebar, this is a shita of Rav Papa. There's approximately, I saw once, it's an interesting discussion, there's approximately 10 places in Shas where Rav Papa does this. For example, he does it by Asher Yatzar. Our Nusach of Asher Yatzar is a compilation of a bunch of different shitas. Rav Papa comes along and puts them all together. The bracha, Maidim Derabana, Rav Papa was the one who put it all together. He mean it was a lot of different sentences, fragments from different shitas, and Rav Papa put it together. Birchas HaTorah, Rav Papa put it together. Other things. There are those that suggest that, first of all, we always paskin like Rav Papa whenever he does this. Whenever he makes the whole compilation, puts it all together, we always paskin like him, number one. And number two, I don't remember where I saw it, but I remember once seeing that there are 10 places in Shas where Rav Papa does this, and that's why he was zeichet to have his 10 sons, who, as we know, whenever anyone time you make a siyum, we mention of Papa's 10 sons were all gedolei olam, who are leaders of the generation. Okay, but that's Rav Papa's bottom line, is that, and that's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, and Reish Chav Tes, and Aruch Chaim, that whenever we see a rainbow, you make the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Lakeinu Melech Olam, Zoicha Habris. It's actually a shaila if it's V'ne'eman or Ne'eman B'brisai, V'kayim B'ma'amorei. So that's the bottom line halacha. When you see a rainbow, you make a bracha. Okay, case closed. However, the Gemara in Chagiga tells us, even though we have to make a bracha, the Gemara tells us, very interesting Gemara, it's in source number 3, Kol Shalei Chas, it's quoting the Mishnah there in Chagiga, Kol Shalei Chas Al Kvoid Koinai, whoever does not have proper respect for his creator, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the proper gear here is Roy, it's a printing mistake. Roy Loi Shloi Ba Olam. It's appropriate that he should not come to the world. That's the Mishnah and Chagiga. The Gemara explains, what does this mean?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
It's Roy Loi, it's appropriate for him that he should not be in this world. Meaning, he should not, if he doesn't have proper respect for his creator, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's better that he's not here. Go find somewhere else to live. Different planet. So the Gemara says, Maihi, what is this? What's an expression of someone who doesn't have proper Kvoid Koinai, proper respect for his creator? So one man the Amar says, Rav Abba, or other gear says, Rabba Omar, Zeha Mistakel Bekeshes. Someone who stares at a rainbow, that's a way of showing disrespect for the Eibishter, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Yosef Omar, Rav Yosef says, a different way of showing disrespect was Zeha Oiver Aver Beseser, someone who commits an Avera in hiding. That I think is easier for us to relate to. We can understand that a person is, so to speak, is under the tish, hiding underneath the table, try to do something, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't see him. So that's obviously showing a sign of disrespect. He's not respecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, but how do we know that someone who's mistakel, someone who just looks at the rainbow, is also considered to be disrespectful? The Pasuk says, the Chsiv, it brings the same Pasuk we had before in Yecheskel, Kimara HaKeshes, like the vision of the rainbow, Shayia Ba'onon B'yayim HaGeshem, Kein Mara Hanoiga, that's the pasuk over there, Savivu Mara Dmus Kvod Hashem, that's the vision of something something wrong. Hanoiga, I need art school translation, but something inappropriate, bad, that's showing the Dmus Kvod Hashem. The Gemara doesn't really explain, though, what's the problem? What the guy do wrong? He's just standing outside gazing.
Okay, usually means like
and
shining,
staring at the rainbow.
Like Noga.
Noga, right, okay. But here it has a negative connotation. But what exactly is he doing wrong by staring at the rainbow? The Gemara doesn't really explain. So the next page in source 4, the Aruch, Arishon, and he works in alphabetical order. He goes, takes different words from the Gemara and, like, you know, explains it like a dictionary, but more than just a dictionary, explains it with a pshat. And the Aruch says in the entry, Keshes, where it's underlined, he brings the Gemara, his gear, so it's Rabba Omar Zeh Mistakel B'Keshes, Pirish Maharer B'Libo Sheesh Demus. First, he said, the reason why he says it's a problem is because he's staring at it, and by doing that, he's thinking, he's putting through the process on his mind, that's, so to speak, the image of Hashem, and that's not appropriate to limit HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be looking like a rainbow. It's a beautiful thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, but the Gemara is saying, according to the Aruch, that someone who's staring at the rainbow is putting in his mind the process, the thought that this is an image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's inappropriate. And that's so inappropriate that the Gemara Chagig is saying, it's Roy Loi, it's appropriate for them, they shouldn't be in this world. And then he says, however, V'haraya b'keshes also loy l'staka, but what does it mean he can't gaze at it? Because we said we have to make a bracha. If you can't gaze in it, if you can't look at it, so how could you make the bracha? So he clarifies, the Aruch explains, Hainu habata b'yayish, this means excessive staring, or more of a gazing, you know, you're looking at it for a prolonged period of time. K'dei shlayir demus kvayit Hashem, eli yahapich panav men of yivarach. You see it, you make the bracha and turn away. Don't stand there and study it and look at it for a long time, that would be inappropriate. But just to look at it to make the bracha, that's what we need to do. And this is how the Shulchan Aruch as well paskins again in Reish Chav Tes and Aruch Chaim, that when you see the rainbow, you make the bracha. And the Shulchan Aruch concludes, but you should not stare at it for a long period of time. And I'm sure in the Sifrei HaKabbalah, there's more to discuss about the different colors of the rainbow and different other things that they might represent in a strong way, but beyond my scope of understanding, so we're not going to go there right now.
What
so,
a long time.
What?
Sun and the moon, also you can't...
Well, the moon is a different thing. The Pisces say you can't... Well, you also look at also, you shouldn't stare at the moon. The sun, you can't stare at, so that's a... That's good. Glasses. I said special glasses for the eclipse.
Slavonis, as you look at it. Once.
You look at it, right? That's it, right? Just look at it. Also, same halacha, similar halacha. Yeah. So
what is a long time?
I can't give it. I can't define how many seconds it is, but you should. All you have to do is see it. So, 2-3 seconds. I don't know. I'm not. Don't lock me in. But something just to look at it, as opposed to looking at it and saying, you know, and staying there for some extra time. So it's a quick.
A telescope or something. You can't do that.
Well, I don't know if you need. You don't even need a telescope to see it. You know.
Okay.
It seemingly should be a problem. If a person has a specific insight where he needs to study it for some reason, maybe that he's doing a thesis on it or a report on it. Maybe there's a.
Heschel used to have a telescope in camp. And he used to show the boys the planets and Jupiter and its moons and Saturn's rings and things like that with the telescope.
But Scott, but not the rainbows.
Okay, fine.
So that's us a slush thing. Of course, the student flies habayre. But here we have specifically the Gemara saying the problem with the rainbows. Okay, so far we discussed the basic idea that, and we asked the question we have to get back to in the Psukim in Noyach of what the rainbow represents, and seemingly there's a lot of extra words in the Psukim over there. And then we discussed the two short Gemaras, one about the Bracha on rainbow, and one about the Isser of gazing at the rainbow for a prolonged period of time. Now let's move on a little bit to discuss the question that many of the Rishonim deal with, and we'll start with the Ramban. I can't discuss all the opinions here, but we'll discuss some of them. The Ramban starts off saying that in source number 5, the simple implication from reading the verses, from reading the Psukim, seems to tell us that Hamashrama mina ois hazeh, he says, the implication is that this is the new creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Noach all about the rainbow now, being very expressive in his words, because Noach for 600 years never saw a rainbow, because, says the Ramban, it seems like from the simple reading of the Psukim, that the reason why I never saw it before, because it didn't exist before. And therefore, he says, "V'ata bar Hashem achadasha la'aseis keshesh b'shmayim." Now Hashem is creating a new creation that it should be seen in the sky, b'yayim anon, on a cloudy day. And then before he goes on to another pshat, he says, "But what's pshat? Why that Kadosh Baruch Hu picked the rainbow? Why that Kadosh Baruch Hu picked this arch-like image?" We know from St. Louis, we all appreciate an arch-like image, but you know, before St. Louis, people didn't appreciate the arch as much. So why specifically this arch in a keshesh? So the Ramban says an idea that. First of all, it's the keshes is facing, the legs are facing towards earth, as opposed to the opposite way where the keshes would face upwards. He says that specifically, so should not look that kilu min hashamayim oyim, but as if they're shooting down arrows at us from the heavens. And he says aval asay behepach, means that it's specifically made in this way that the legs are, so to speak, planted on the horizon. Laharosh lo yoyru boy min hashamayim, that the heavens are not shooting down on us. V'chein Derech hanilchamim, this is the ways of warriors. Lahapachaisai, they invert their bow. Biyadam kacha, in this way, they show it to their enemy. Kasha yikru l'shalom, when they're coming in peace, when they're surrendering, it's a sign of surrender. They invert their bow to show that, you know, we're not shooting at you anymore. Here's a sign of peace. Lemisha kenegdam v'aych ein lakeshes yaser l'chay nechitzim alav. And furthermore, the archer, when he runs out of arrows, he shows, that's it. Game over. I'm out. And he turns his bow around. So this is a symbol, says the Ramban, specifically in this way to show that not that Kadosh Baruch Hu is shooting down arrows at us, chas v'shalom, but rather it's a way of showing that there's something, I was going to do something now, but I'm stopping, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, so to speak, right? I was going to bring the mabul, the people were deserving of something, of some destruction because of the inappropriate acts that they were doing in that generation. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, but I'm not doing it because of the treaty I made. But then the Ramban changes face a little bit, and he says that although I started off the Ramban saying that the simple reading of the Psukim is that it's a new creation, he says, V'anachnu al korcheinu na'amin l'divra hayivonim. Very interesting word. It says, it must be, we're muchruch to accept the words of the Greeks, and he means the scientists of the day, that were explained that it's a natural phenomenon. We don't have to go through the whole basic earth science now of how it works, but the refraction of the light with the clouds and the mist and the sun. Okay, well, remember, it's at one point or another from various schooling, how the rainbow works. So he says, had to have existed beforehand also. He doesn't bring this, but other Rishonim also say there's a Mishnah Avos which says explicitly that the Keshes was created during Ben Hashmashas of the 6 days of creation. So it wasn't a new creation. So what's going on over here? If it's not a new creation, so rainbows exist and Noach saw a rainbow before, and why now? How, first of all, how can it develop into an ice now, asked the Ramban, because it already existed in the Bria, and furthermore, the wording is a little bit redundant. So the Ramban goes to try to explain into the Pesukim, and he says, it's underlined in the second paragraph. He says, we have to explain the Pasuk, HaKeshes Eshenasati Bi'onon, the Keshes that was already in the clouds, Miyayim HaBriya, from the days of creation, Tiyem in Ayayim HaZev V'Holot, should be from now and onwards, the ice breast, it should now be for a sign of a treaty, Beini U'Veinechem, between me and your descendants, Shekolzman She'er'eno, anytime I show it, Azke, I'll remember, Ki Bris Sholem Beini U'Veinechem, this is peace, treaty, peace treaty between me and your descendants. So the Ramban is saying, the bottom line is that it's not a new creation, it's an old creation, but now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making it that it's now going to be an act of a bris between us and him. So it's not that anything in the Bria changed per se, but now HaKadosh Baruch Hu just adapted the Bria to now only function as a way of a bris. It's also not, it's not a full answer to the, because if it's a natural phenomenon, that means that, you know, basically every time it rains and certain conditions are there, that the rainbow should just appear. So, you know, if we hold it's a brand new creation, now it's only coming out as a bris. Okay, so that's, you know, that's, it's hard to fully digest that, but we can say it's a nace. But the Ramban now is saying it's not a nace, it's part of Bria. But it only now it represents something, but before it didn't represent something. So that means if there would have been a rainbow in before Noach's time, before Noach came out of Teva, it was just a beautiful thing. We can all look at it, perhaps, and enjoy it, and there was no bracha to be recited, and it didn't represent anything. But now, once the marvel happened, it has this deep meaning to it, where it represents a bris. So that needs a little more hesber, and hopefully we'll get to it as we go along. So that's the Ramban's pshat in the rainbow. Again, it wasn't a new Bria, the bottom line is that. It was a Bria from the beginning of Sheshmei Bereshis, but now it just was adapted to be used as a sign of a treaty. They told us Yitzchak in source number 6, we're going basically in chronological order. The Ramban is a Rishon. The told us Yitzchak is on the border of Rishonim and Achronim. The told us Yitzchak is Rav Yitzchak Karo, the uncle of the famous Rav Yosef Karo. So this is the end of the Rishonim, beginning of the Achronim. The Tolos Yitzchak al Torah beginning, where it's not underlined, he's basically paraphrasing the Ramban's idea, that like the second pshat in the Ramban, and then he says v'zeh doichik. He says he doesn't like the Ramban's pshat, and then where it's underlined, he says avala emesu. The truth is, says the Tolos Yitzchak, shakeshes hayanira koydim amabel ba'avir lach. You were able to see the rainbow before the mabel when it was misty outside. There was moisture in the air. Loy ba'anam, but it wasn't together with clouds. I can't fully explain it in the scientific way, but the way I understand it is that the rainbow that existed before the Mabel, and he explained because the clouds were different. Before the Mabel, the clouds were much thicker and much denser, and after the Mabel, the clouds got a little thinner, and that now allows us to see the rainbow together with clouds. So he's saying there's some slight modification in the Bria after the Mabel, that again, the rainbow existed in a rainbow sense before the Mabel, but was changed specifically now, and the extra emphasis in the Pesukim is why it keeps talking about the Anonim, Anonim, Anonim in the Pesukim, is because now the rainbow is seen together with the clouds in a way where it's, you know, it's softer clouds or thinner, fluffier clouds, not fluffy in a thick way, but, you know, in a less dense, and we're able to see the rainbow in the clouds. That's the ice bris we're talking about. And before the Mabel, he says the rainbow existed but without all the clouds, because if it would have been clouds there, it would have totally blocked the rainbow. Again, to explain this and with the more fancier scientific terms, I can't do that, but again, he's trying to understand, different than the Ramban, that the rainbow, again, was the same rainbow that always existed. The only change was in the clouds, and that's why the Pesukim are very much emphasizing the cloud. So it's interesting, it's not just the rainbow as a symbol, but according to the Tolos Yitzchak, it's the rainbow together with the looser or thinner clouds that now represent the idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu won't bring the Mabel. It would come out, the way I'm understanding it, according to him, if a person would see a rainbow and without the maybe a cloud base, you know, or clouds that are near it enough, I don't know if it's technically possible, scientifically or not, I'm not sure, then the Chorah wouldn't be a bracha. Because just like if a person, let's say, you know, they go to Niagara Falls, right? And Niagara Falls, you can always see the rainbow there because there's this tremendous torrent of water coming, and with the sun at the right time of day, you can see the rainbow there for a couple hours a day. That doesn't require bracha because that is not a rainbow that comes comes from nature, but it's not coming from a rainstorm. We only make the bracha after a rain. A rainbow, if you open up a barrel of water in the right time of day, also you'll see a rainbow with the refraction. You can see rainbows all different places. The only rainbow we're making a bracha on is after a rainstorm. So if, according to the Tolos Yitzchak, if I'm understanding it correctly, it should come out that if a person sees this rainbow and there's not enough clouds around, let's say it's completely, I don't know if it's possible to be completely cloudless or very minimum clouds with the rainbow, it should be that wouldn't require bracha, and we don't see it in the poskim at all to make that distinction. Now the Shla in source 7 says, I think it fits in with the Ramban, but he explains it a little differently. He's quoting the Shla, he's quoting the Ramah. I think it's the Ramah in Sefer Torah Sa'ilah. The Ramah wrote a Sefer about explaining different things of the Bria. I didn't see it inside, but I just saw it from the Shla. And the Shla says, he says, "B'shem Rabbeinu Moshe Israelis, Zal, the name of Moshe Israelis, the Ramah, Shamati Sha'amar Avsha Keshes Ubeteva, Mikomakom Lo Hayin Nira Hakeshes Im Hayin Zakoyin." If we were Zaycha, we wouldn't see the Keshes. Why? It's a natural phenomenon. How can we not see the Keshes? Ki Avsha Lefi Ateva Hakeshes Ela Kishiyered Hamotur Biyoim, Vachaba Zoyrachas Veilu Hayu Zakoyin. He quotes the Chazal. Chazal tell us, Gishmei Bracha, the most opportune time for us to get the rain is Friday night, or Leila Revi. The Gemara also says, specific times where it rains at night, where it doesn't interfere with our everyday business, what we need to get around, it doesn't impede with our transportation. So if we were Zoyche, says the Shla in the name of the Ramah, we would never see the rainbow during the day, because it only rain at night. If we're on the right madrega, have proper Gishmei Bracha. Now, it's true, I looked up in the encyclopedia, I was interested to find out more about a rainbow, and there is such a thing called a moonbow. A moonbow, Kishmei Kainhu, certain times of the month, only when the moon is full and it gives off its brightest light, it's possible under certain conditions to have a certain similar effect to a rainbow. It's not as colorful as a rainbow, because obviously the light is different and everything, but there's such a thing, it's very rare to happen. Obviously you can't predict when it's going to happen, so you can't know exactly, but it can only be a certain time of the month. But obviously Chazal did not consider that to be part of the rainbow. So even if you would have a moon bow, I don't think that would require a bracha, but the Shla is saying in the name of the Ramah, and I think this fits in with the Ramban, that the Kesh has always existed. But now it's serving as a risk because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring rain on a random Tuesday afternoon and make all the conditions suitable for it to be a rainbow, that's a taina against the dar, because they're not acting correctly. Because if we were acting correctly, we would have got the Gishmei Bracha on Leil Revi or on Leil Shabbos, and we would never have seen the rainbow. So not that, before I was bothered a little bit by the Ramban, that how can, you know, he says, "L'chein the fire shakos v'keshes and tzadibon miyom abriya tia min ayom azeva hala ois bris." Like, what exactly is changing? If it's a natural phenomenon, it's a natural phenomenon. So the answer is not really changing. But the whole backdrop to when the rain is falling and when and all the nature, all the natural things that are coming into play, interplay over here, doesn't have to be. If we were Zaycha, the rain would come Friday night, let's say, and we were just, you know, we wake up Shabbos morning, it would be wet outside, we would walk to shul, have a nice dry walk to shul, and never see the rain during the day, we never see a rainbow. So the fact that we even ever see a rainbow, it's true it's a natural phenomenon, it's true it existed before the Mao, but the fact that we're seeing it is only because we're not getting the real Gishmei Bracha, which would be only at a time where we're not be during the daytime. That's a pshat of the Shla in the name of the Ramah.
The rainbow is a simon klala, mm-hmm. right? The rainbow is not visible to the entire world at one time.
Right.
When you see it here, they're not seeing it in Chicago.
Right.
So what is that, to simon just to us?
That's a good question. Meaning, when we see it here, we're not seeing it in Chicago, we're not seeing it in New York, they're seeing it in Israel, they don't see it here.
So it's a simon to us that we're not Zaycha, but I'm not sure. They didn't have a problem.
I'm not sure. You're right. It must be something local. It must have some local significance, but I haven't seen that discussed, meaning particularly, I'm not sure. But yeah, but it's a simon, but we have to know about it. I mean, but it's for both of us to see, so to speak.
It's a two-way sign.
Okay.
So the message to us is okay. I guess
do tshuva,
not to look at it for a period of time. The Rabbanu Shalom is reminding himself not to destroy us. What so the message to us is, how do I do tshuva? What am I doing wrong?
Right. Right, and like Florence is pointing out, it's a very local phenomenon. It can only be seen, you know, whatever the radius is, however far you can see a rainbow, but it is very local. It's very small. That.
So I was stationed in the South Pacific in the military. And
yeah.
One of the things that we used to do in the wintertime when the rainstorms would, you could go up to the pineapple fields and watch the rainbows storm across the field 5 and 6 at a time.
Wow.
Complete full arches. It's before I knew anything about the survey.
Interesting. Wondering how I don't know. I'm not sure. I didn't see that discussed, you know, why, if so specifically each city now has a time against them. I'm not sure. I don't know.
In the old days, before the Mabul, the generations were more degenerate, so you would think they would see more rainbows in those times.
But the rainbow then didn't have the symbol. It didn't have the only became a symbol after the Mabul.
It became a symbol after the Mabul. Is there a portion that say that it existed before the Mabul?
Seems like from the way the Ramban is saying that. First we have a Mishnah in Avos which says it was created during Bein HaShemashos.
Okay.
So now it doesn't mean that we ever saw it until after Mabul. That I can't say for sure. But it seems like from the way the Ramban is saying from the Yevanim, or we're called natural scientists, it should have existed. Now, I don't think it only rained. I don't know. Maybe it says this somewhere that before the Mabul it never rained during the day. As far as I know, we don't say that. But theoretically, if it would have for the first approximately 1900 years of the Bria, let's say it only rained at night, and it would never have potentially never have seen the rainbow. I just don't know that. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, let's move on now to the Yaris Tavash, Avernus and Ipshus. Now we're deep into the Achroinim. And he has a whole new approach to the explaining the phenomenon on the rainbow. And he starts with the Gemara. He starts with the Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara in Ksubis in the 7th Perek says that fascinating Agadat Gemara, when Rabbi Shua ben Levi, it was coming time for him to go, and he had made a whole deal with the Malach HaMavis. We won't get into that. And he ran into Gan Eden alive, and he jumped over the fence. He took the Malach HaMavis's sword, and then the Malach HaMavis wanted it back. They had a little back and forth till the Baskel came out and said he has to give it back to him. Okay, as Rabbi Shua ben Levi is entering Gan Eden alive, the Gemara there says Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was sitting on a throne of 13 gold chairs, and some heavenly voice comes out, make way, because the son of Levi is coming. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai greets him and says, okay, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, did you ever see a rainbow in your day? And he says, yes. He says, oh, then you must not be the son of Levi. That's the end of the Gemara. Very strange. I'm sure there's a lot of interesting pirushim in the Gemara. But the Gemara then says it wasn't really true. Rabbi Shua ben Levi did not see a rainbow in his day, but he didn't want to say yes because he didn't want to be machzik toivalas, but he didn't want to come off sounding haughty or anything of that nature. So he said yes, there was rainbows, even though in truth, the Gemara says, there was not a rainbow in his day. And of course, the kasha over here is, again, besides all the Agada questions on the Gemara, but in a simple halachic sense, what's going on? How can Rabbi Shua ben Levi say something which is not true if there were no rainbows in his day? Because, as the first to explain, a rainbow, if there's no rainbow, it means that he kept his generation safe. He was protecting his generation. So why did they tell Rabbi Shua ben Yochai that, yes, there were rainbows. There were no rainbows in his day. Well, what's he lying for? It's sheker. And furthermore, then he goes on to the question, which is, you know, most applicable to us right now. We're discussing is that he says Avala Inyan. It's 1, 2, 3, about 5 lines down on the right side. He says Avala Inyan Kfar Tamo Kol Bali Ativium. All the naturists, or natural people, scientists are asking Alzuchiras Bris about this covenant, this treaty. Hanerim Bekeshes Ki Udaver Miteva. It's a part of nature. Kasha Tizrach Hashemesh Mula Ovim, when the sun is shining on a certain angle by the clouds, Achurim, Malayim, Keturi, Mayim, they're filled with mist of water, Kasha Nisayin Mayra, like we all know, etc. Says, what's going on? So he says as follows, where it's underlined, Avo Bezayar Yesh, the Zayar tells us, Ki Yesh Trei Keshes Mishunim Begavonim. There's two types of rainbows with different types of colors. Echad Hu Tivi, one's a natural phenomenon with the regular Roy G. Biff, all the seven colors. There's another type of rainbow, says the Zohar, which is completely the color of Techeles, some bluish, greenish tinge color. And that's the rainbow that is meant to show us the sign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu not destroying the world. Why Techeles? Ki Techeles miloshen Kliya, because the word Techeles shares the same shoresh with the word Kliya, destruction. Ratzalomar Techeles More, the color of Techeles, that's showing us Kinischaivu Chas V'Shalom Kolayin Chas V'Shalom. The world is deserving of a destruction. V'yesh Lahem Tachlis Toy V'Zechiras Bris, and there's a benefit for us to remember this treaty. Lekach Rishum Bayachai Shishalom Rishum Bayachai asked Rishum Alevi Nira Keshes Biyamecha, when he asked him, did you see a rainbow? He didn't mean the regular Roy G. Biff 7 color beautiful rainbow, so to speak. Kavanasa, he was asking, Al Keshes Mimin Hasheni, the second category of rainbows, Shu Einativi Klau, which is completely not a natural phenomenon, it's completely B'derech Neis. So comes along Rabbi Yonasan Dvash and tells us, we owe all the Rishayim, everyone's talking about till now, what's going on, what does the rainbow represent, it's totally natural, we had a Shesh Meberesha, so the Yvonim said it's natural, etc. No, because they all missed the boat. That was the whole keshes that we're talking about in the Torah is not the regular keshes of seven colors. It's a keshes that's particularly of this bluish or something like that color. And that's the keshes that represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the world. And Tcheles, again, he's saying the same lashon of Kliya, of destruction. And the regular rainbow doesn't have any representation at all. You can see rainbow from today to tomorrow, according to this point right now in the Aris Devash. It doesn't show anything about the Hashem wanting to destroy the world, and maybe even you can look at it, I don't know, doesn't talk about that, but he's saying there's two separate types of keshes, the regular seven-color rainbow, and hold on, I'll get the bracha right in a second, there's a regular seven-color rainbow, and then there's the rainbow of one shade. And then he concludes on the top and left column, where it's underlined, he says, L'fizeh tzorach limud v'avchana, we need to learn and understand, l'havchin ben rias keshes, when we look at a rainbow, imhu tivya keshes haskaras bris, which rainbow is it? Is it the natural phenomenon rainbow, or is it this rainbow that really represents the treaty between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that happened after the Mabul? Because if it's the treaty rainbow, we'll call it, then we have to do tshuva. If it's a regular rainbow, so it's beautiful, it's part of nature. And that's how he ends off, basically. Bekitzer, that there's two types of rainbows. That's how he explains the Gemara, that Rabbi Shua Ben Levi didn't lie to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He was answering the question on one type of rainbow. And the other type of rainbow did exist in his day. Okay, this is an amazing Pshat of Yaris Devash. Unbelievable, bringing the Zohar. Now, there's a lot of discussion of those people who are familiar with Zohar, and I'm not one of them, which Zohar he's referring to. Because in the original print of Yaris Devash, like this one over here, doesn't give the reference to where the Zohar is. And there seemingly is many different Zohars that discuss rainbows, and seemingly they don't really agree to the way the Zohar, the Rabbi Yonasan Eibershitz is quoting them. So it's a big discussion among the Yoidei Sifrei Kabbalah, which Zohar he was referring to, and or if he got the right Zohar, didn't get the right Zohar. But we're going to go with now that he was quoting a Zohar that he was familiar with, and still he felt that there's two types of rainbows. So I'm just letting you know that not everybody agrees to the explanation of the Zohar that Rabbi Yonasan Eibershitz says. However,
has anyone ever seen the other one?
That's a good question. I haven't seen that. I don't know. I can't tell you about everybody else. But like my father raised a moment ago, the big question is going to be what this shot is. The big question with this rainbow is, according to Benny Snipes, how do we make a bracha? We're making a bracha on the regular natural rainbow we see, the seven-colored rainbow that we see. And according to Benny Snipes, that has nothing to do with the treaty of Noach. So if you look in the next source number 9, the Ben Ishchai, he says as follows, Haraya Keshes, he's paraphrasing the Shulchan Aruch, we'll read it together, it says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Zoicha Abris, Ne'eman B'Bris HaVikayim B'Ma'amorei, V'Asher L'Stakel Boy. So that's all the Shulchan Aruch. Then he says, L'fi Das HaGoyin Mareinu Harv Yoinis and Zal B'Yaris Devash, according to Harv Yoinis and Eibshitz and Yaris Devash, D'yesh Trey Gavni Kesh, there are two categories of rainbows, Im Kein, Sarach L'Varach, B'li Shem HaMalchus, Deinu Tone Yedeh, because we don't know exactly what we're seeing, which type of rainbow is it. So he says, okay, according to Yoinis and Eibshitz, the bracha really doesn't exist in its full form because we can't say Hashem's name because Safa Brachas L'Hakel. Mio, however, says the Ben Ishchai, Ein Devarim HaNiskarim, these words of Yoinis and Eibshitz, Ha'amur M'derech Drash, which are said in a way of Drash, Kedai la'akor minig Yisrael, that's not sufficient to uproot the minig of Klai Yisrael Levarach b'Shem Malchus. Ubefraki kol gedolei ha'poiskim sasum milai. But all the other poiskim don't mention this idea. They always just say regularly, see a kesh has to make a bracha. Therefore, he says, if you want to be an extra pious individual and say the bracha without Hashem's name, okay, we'll let you do that. But really, the Ben Ishchai Paskin's like the standard psak we're familiar with. If you see a regular rainbow, you do make a bracha. So just to recap, we now went through some of the Mahalchim from the Rishonim and the Achronim, just all coming to explain what's the idea behind the rainbow. If it all existed before and already, where exactly are we seeing the treaty? According to the first Pshat in the Ramban, that seemingly he rejects, the first Pshat though was that it never existed till now, it's a brand new creation. The second Pshat he was saying that it's, of course, it's a scientific, it's a part of nature, but now it has a certain representation it didn't have before. The Tolos Yitzchak explained that no, specifically now the clouds changed after the Mabul, so the seeing of the rainbow with the clouds in a lighter way, that's the Simon the Bris. The Shlah said that we would never have to see it, in the name of the Ramah, we would never see a rainbow at day if we were Zeiche, because Gishmei Bracha should always be at night. And now that we're seeing the rainbow, it's only because we're not Zeiche. And the Aris Tavash again explained that there's two different types of rainbows altogether, and that's how he just, you know, totally changes the whole sugya of the rainbow. Let's now discuss another very interesting halacha which comes up, which is quoted as follows. The Chai Adam in source number 10 says as follows. The first part of the Chai Adam and Ois Dalet over here just really quotes the Shulchan Aruch, the bracha, like we said before, and you can't stare at it. And then look in the parentheses, he says something fascinating. Says the Chai Adam, U'matzasi b'sefer echad. I found in a particular sefer, Shmoy Ne'ala Mimeni. I forgot what sefer it was, and that's very strange. I'm not a bucky in the works of the Chai Adam, but he always references his remarks, and he doesn't usually forget where he's coming from. He says, I saw a certain sefer, and I don't remember what sefer it was. She'ein lahagid l'chaver she'esh keshes. You should not tell your friend if you see the rainbow, mitam moitzi diba, because of your saying out a negative idea. Let's discuss this for a minute. The Chai Adam is paskening that, of course, you make a bracha, you can't stare at the rainbow, but don't tell your friend, there's a rainbow outside, come. Let's go make a bracha together, because you're going to be in violation of the principle of Maitzi Diba. There's a pasuk in Mishlei in Perek Yud. The end of the pasuk is Maitzi Diba Huksil. Someone who gives forth bad news is a foolish person. This is nothing to do necessarily even with the halachas of Lashon Hara. This is just a halacha of you person should not be a bearer of bad news. There's no reason necessarily to be the person going around and spreading all this news if it just has nothing good to it. No, you know, no news is good news. If you have news, then it's sometimes it's bad. There's interesting halacha, it's a paskin in Hilchas Avedos, all the way at the end in Siman Tuf Beis, that if a person has a relative who passes away, the halacha is you're not even supposed to tell them. Now, the minhag is that Ramah speaks that we tell the male descendants they can say Kaddish, and the Ramah says we don't have to tell the female descendants because what do I have to know for? Now, the Paiskim say nowadays we do it for other reasons, but technically the Shulchan Aruch says there's no reason to tell somebody else if someone else passed away. It's a mighty diba. If you do it, you're in violation of the pasuk in Mishlei of just spreading bad news. The Shach says in Hilchos Avelos, that's one of the reasons why the minhag is when someone passes away, you see people walk out of the room and spill out the water. That's a minhag. It's an old minhag the Shach brings down from the Rishonim. And the reason is because they don't want to say that someone passed away. They just want to do something that shows, and people who understand the simon will understand that the person passed away. And there's an interesting reason why they spill out water. It has to do with the Be'er Miriam, because after Miriam passed away, the water stopped. So we're showing that now we have no water. And that's a representation of the way. It's basically a remez to show people that someone was nifter, but you don't say it. That's a minhag in Klai, so we don't tell people necessarily. Unless, obviously, sometimes it's very necessary. But the question over here is, what's going on? First of all, there's a bracha to say. And it's a good idea. It's not a bracha we get to say often. So why shouldn't I tell my friend there's a bracha to say? Isn't it a great opportunity? Go outside, say the bracha. People should remember it by heart. If you don't remember it by heart, get a sitter quickly and go see it before it disappears. Why can't we tell people? Furthermore, okay, let's say I'm going to be careful with this. So I'm going to be a kunstmacher. I'm going to be like this. I'm not going to come in and tell people that that there's a rainbow, but I'll make a clap outside on the window and say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Lekeinu Melech HaOlam, Zoich. I'll make a, you know, Bekol Rom. Is that would that be kosher or not be kosher? Again, because the Chai Adam is saying I shouldn't tell people because I shouldn't be the bearer of bad news. So I'm not telling you, but I'm giving a clap and I'm making the bracha out loud. Or I say, did you see that pigeon flying up ahead? Looks really interesting, right? And obviously the person will pick up his head and see the rainbow, right? So again, would these ideas be permitted or not? So it's interesting, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah in source 11, he quotes the Chai Adam, but he has one slight nuance of a change in the Lashon. He says, Haroya keshes, v'ein kedai. Says the Mishnah, it's not worth it to tell your friend that there's a keshes, mitam oitzi diba. He says, it's not worth it. The Chai Adam didn't say it's not worth it. The Chai Adam said, don't tell your friend, she'ein lahagi, don't do it. Mishmuel says it's not worth it. There's some slight nuance. Mishmuel was familiar with he was copying from the Chai Adam. He knew exactly the words of the Chai Adam. Many times he just copies his words word for word. There was a slight change here. He edited some of the words of the Chai Adam. He just quotes the Chai Adam, doesn't tell you where the Chai Adam got it from either. I looked in a couple of the contemporary Sfarim. Nobody was able to locate which sefer that the Chai Adam was quoting from. It seems like that sefer was totally lost. But what's the pshat that the Mishmuel is changing it? So one pshat that some people suggest is that the Chafetz Chaim, as we know, besides writing the Mishneh Berurah, wrote the Sefer Chafetz Chaim Hilchos Lashon Hara. And if you look in Hilchos Lashon Hara in Klal Gimel Sif Dalid, there the Mishneh Berurah tells us there's a halacha, what's called Lashon Hara Beremez. Lashon Hara Bitsina is also awesome. Meaning, I want to tell you something about Yankel. I'm not going to say Yankel's name, so I'll say, you know, the guy who always comes to shul with a green suit and a yellow tie. You know that guy? I'm not going to tell you his name, but that guy, what he did, that's of course, that's Lashon Hara Beremez, or other types of, even if it's less obvious, you know, that was obviously the example, but something which that's also going to be usher. So those that want to say that maybe the Mishneh Berurah here is saying that the reason why it's not worth it because Lashon Hara Beremez, but the Chayyar Tar to understand Lashon Hara is about a particular person or a specific people. You know, if I'm not talking about one person, I could be talking about a group. But over here by the Keshes, we can never nail somebody on the head and say it's because of you or because of you three people, so to speak, that the Keshes came. It's talking to the Dur. It's always talking about in a very, very general sense. Well, as we asked before, maybe it's a whole city or maybe it's a whole generation. Whatever it is, there's something in a very general sense. We can never nail somebody particular on the head and say it's because of you the rainbow came. So the Chayra wouldn't fall into the category of Lashon Hara, but rather this idea of Maitzi Diba. And there's a Me'iri, a fascinating Me'iri in Pesachim and Daf Gimel Mabez. I didn't put in the sheets, but there the Gemara in Gimel Mabez in Pesachim is talking about a Gemara where the Chacham were not, Rav Kahana was very sick. And they sent, the Chacham sent Rabbi Shua ben Rav Idi to go check if he was still alive or not. Rabbi Shua ben Idi, Bar Idi, goes into the room and he sees Rav Kahana passed away. He tears Kriya and walks out of the room. But he walks out of the room and the Chacham shouldn't even see that he tore Kriya. And he comes out and everyone's like, no, what's going on? He doesn't say anything. Slowly, eventually, he turns around and they see that he tore Kriya and they say, oi, Rav Kahana was nifter? And he says, oh, you guys are being Mighty Diba. I don't want to be the one who's being Mighty Diba, but you're the one, you said it, I didn't say it. Right? But what's going on here? Rav Kahana was nifter, just say it. Rav Kahana's nifter. I taught Kriya. Let's go make the Levaya. So the Me'iri speaks out. He says, Bala Lamed, this Gemara comes to teach us. Shekamaisha Tzarech, I was reading the words, I didn't put it in the booklet. Shekamaisha Tzarech Lizar Milosha Maguna. Just like a person has to be careful from the, he's speaking of words that are not kosher, inappropriate words. Kach Tzarech Lizar Shlayeh Piv Mizuman Lebesura Peronius. A person should always make sure, guard his mouth, that he should be the not one to bear bad news. Even if they ask him directly, lo yeshive, he should not answer directly. Ella sheyigam game bedavar, a person should stumble on his words to trip, you know, say, well, maybe, you know, and somehow that you should be not never be the one to speak it out, you know, in detail. Eventually, people will realize what happened b'toich dvar from your words. So this idea, you can't say it's a halacha mufreshes. You can't say it's gepaskin and shulchan aruch. But the Mishneh Berurah here is saying it's ain't kedai. It's not kedai for you, for any individual who sees the rainbow, to be the person to tell other people. Could they make a bracha? Yeah, and that's really Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld in source number 13 was asked, what's the difference between this and Kaddish? You have to tell a male descendant that his relative died so he could say Kaddish. His parent, Chas Shalom, passed away. Say Kaddish. Why over here? You're getting an opportunity to make a bracha. He says, the MS, he says, first of all, you might not be able to make the bracha because maybe by the time the next guy sees the rainbow disappears. It doesn't last that long. And also, he doesn't speak this out, but maybe... again, the person, by the time he gets out there, it'll disappear. Maybe other reasons, he won't be able to make the bracha. So there's no chiv to be proactive, to go look out to make this bracha. Of course, if the opportunity presents itself, we should make the bracha. But we have to recognize, as the Chafetz Chaim, it's not kedai. It's not worth it for you to be the one to go ahead. It's just interesting. It's a musar, but it's halacha, that it's halacha. We have to say the bracha, but it's not worth it to be the one who's mevaseh besurah. One last point I want to speak out. The Bir Halacha in source 14 says, he raises the following question. Loinis bar, it's not clear to me, he says the Bir Halacha, in Be'ina dafka shireo b'tzmunas keshes tu chati goyren agula, should be ayafilo mixas amenu dai. In order to make the brachas, the person has to see the whole semicircle, or sometimes you don't see, you only see a quarter of it, or half of it, or three quarters of it, because either the clouds are blocking it, or there's a building, whatever it is. Sometimes your vision, you just can't see the whole rainbow. Do you make a bracha or not? And the Bir Halacha doesn't answer the question, raises it into doubt. I was thinking, based on what we saw before in the Ramban said the symbolism of the rainbow is the idea that the enemy, the archer, is showing that he's out. You know, the war is over. So he shows his arch upside down, and says, you know, I'm out of ammunition, I'm out of arrows, or I'm surrendering. And that's the message that Kosh Baruch Hu has given us, to remember the treaty. It could be, so therefore, if we don't see the whole arch, we don't get the whole message. So Pidrash, maybe you would say, that the rainbow is not giving us that full message at that point. Maybe then it's just a regular natural phenomenon, and it's not the rainbow of the bris. Maybe that's his suffix. Lamaisa, I was once, when I was learning in Lakewood, I once walked out of the Beis Medrash at the end of Seder, and there was a rainbow. And it was next to a couple other guys from the yeshiva and Rav Shmuel Meir Katz. He's one of the Paiskim in yeshiva. And of course, no one said it was a rainbow, but we all looked up and saw the rainbow, because one guy looks up. Of course, everybody starts looking up, right? And it was, maybe it was like three quarters, I don't remember exactly, it was about three quarters of a rainbow or something. And this Rav Shmuel Meir Katz made the bracha, we all made the bracha as well. Then, of course, everyone was hacking him up. What about the Be'er Halacha? And he said, the minig is to make the bracha, even if it's not full, and even though the Be'er Halacha doesn't pass in the shal, he says the minig is we make the bracha. But I'm sure there's other Paiskim who have other opinions as well. We should all be zeicher that we should not have to see the rainbow again, and we should be zeicher to have the Gula Shleim here be meinu, amen.
Can we ask some questions now?
Sure, let me turn off this recording.